And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Awesome Mania. I'm Mike, and as always, with me is your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor. Ben, how you doing, my friend?
I'm here. It's been a long week for both of us.
Yes.
Yeah,
so as everyone knows, we normally do this on Thursdays. I had a family emergency that I had to deal with. Luckily, things are much better now. But we're here. We are here. And Ben, starting off with the first topic, because this is something that you wanted to talk about, because you had some concern, and rightfully so, and that is the Undisputed Era, who this past weekend at TakeOver Phoenix lost the tag team titles to the War Raiders. Adam Cole was not part of the main card, however, appeared after the show went off the air, and Bobby Fish only made an appearance during the entrance of Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly to the ring for their match. Neither gentleman was part of the Rumble, and that also sparked some fears of possibly them going up to the main roster too soon.
Yeah, long story short, when when the Undisputed Era appear on the main roster, you want them to feel special, right?
Yep.
But the way it's going to feel now, because if you're going to get called up, they're probably getting called up the Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania. Let's be honest, right?
Yep.
The way it feels right now is that they're not gonna have that. And I'm sorry if this is taking a while, but I'm trying to put my thoughts into much clearer patterns. If the problem is gonna have right now is if WWE call them up after WrestleMania, unless they call them up as NXT tag champions, which would be weird, they're not gonna feel like a big deal, because if you include the Bobby Fish getting them disqualified with his chair, they've lost the last three matches against War Raiders. Right?
Yep.
And then let's assume that they're going to get a rematch WrestleMania weekend and lose again.
So that's essentially going 0-3.
That'd be 0-4.
0-4?
Yeah. And plus Adam Cole not...
That's right, the War Games match. Yeah.
Yeah. So, why are they, outside the fact that the Raw after WrestleMania is, or the SmackDown after WrestleMania is going to be a whole bunch of smarks, right? Who are going to give the biggest Adam Cole baby you've ever heard. That doesn't necessarily mean good things. And I am concerned that if they do this, like, there is no one else War Raiders can go up against, right? I'm sure you're going to bring the Street Profits up because you did the last time we tried recording this, right? But there's a reason they're wrestling in Evolve, right? There's a reason they haven't been on the last 27 NXT takeovers, right? There's there's no team in NXT right now that feels like they can challenge the War Raiders other than the Undisputed Era. And unless you're calling the Undisputed Era up as tag champs, they're just going to lose again.
Yeah, and there's only been two other instances of a NXT champion being called up to the main roster. The first one being Paige as women's champion, which then general manager JBL stripped her of the title.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time was NXT champion Kevin Owens when he challenged John Cena. Which then, of course, he ended up losing the title right before he, I think right before he actually had his match with John Cena on the main card. Yeah. And that was to Finn Balor in the ladder match.
Yeah.
So they have had instances where it's been done. It's just not something that's done often. So, again, yeah, I mean, tag teams, I mean, I read something that obviously now they're going to start their push for the Forgotten Sons.
Ooh.
On NXT, so that if they can build them up, maybe that could be a challenge to the War Raiders. But right now, I don't see anybody.
You're joking.
Like I just said,
they can stand in a ring with War Raiders, sure.
So, but I don't see who can viably be up against the War Raiders at this time, development wise, or so, who's developed up enough wise.
Logically, that means we're probably seeing the rematch at WrestleMania, which is going to be another UDE loss. Now, if there are any... All right, let me rephrase this. If there are a couple of members of UDE that can rebound from that, there are. There are others that just don't matter at the moment, like Bobby Fish. I'm not sure he's been in a match since War Games. You know, he's just there at this point. I don't know.
It seems like when Bobby Fish got injured, initially people worried, but then when Roderick Strong turned on Pete Dunne to win the tag team titles for Undisputed Era, became co-tag team champion of Kyle O'Reilly, it was everything, you know, it righted the ship. But then Bobby Fish came back from injury, and it just kind of like, you know, kind of like the third wheel, but he's really the fourth wheel that just is kind of still a little busted.
Yeah,
he's the donut out of the four tires.
It doesn't, like, I can't see, and I'm not saying that the UDE won't be great on the main roster. All right, let me rephrase that. I'm not saying they aren't all talented, because there are lots of talented people on the main roster who don't do well on the main roster. But I can almost guarantee the only one that will stand out when they get up there is Adam Cole. Maybe Kyle O'Reilly if he keeps playing sweet guitar moves on a tag belt. But, like, they need to bring the UDE, the Undisputed Era, in strong and keep them strong. And they're not doing that.
And that actually brought me to one thing that I pitched to you. I think it was right before the Rumble, or it was the night before the Rumble after Undisputed Era lost the titles.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, well, there's only one tag team match on the entire card, including the pre-show. Well, pre-show, they eventually added one to it. Like at the very beginning, but on the actual main,
like, oh, we're trying to make the Raw tag team scene matter. Better put it on the pay per view because we haven't till now.
Yeah, but you had the SmackDown tag team titles on the line, and one thing I threw to you, which they didn't do obviously, is during the match between Shane McMahon, The Miz versus The Bar, is Undisputed Era just comes out, lays them out, and just walks away with the titles. And to say, you want them? Come get them. And, like, that was the only thing I could think of off the top of my head at the time that could work. because it would get them the heat, because everyone's like, oh, the Miz and Shane, they're trying to do it for Miz's father and all this other crap. But and then the Undisputed Era just shits all over it.
But that, what would that, what would that achieve?
Like I said, it was something that popped in my brain at like that second. I mean,
you can do that kind of thing with any. It does, but even if they did just take the tag team titles, Miz and Shane McMahon could go, yeah, okay, we'll come get them because you've lost three times in a row to War Raiders. You're not a team that makes us not want to come get them. You're weak. If you look at your recent record.
Yeah. But it's also weird at the same time, because even though they're bringing it back again, if you remember when the Revival came up to the main roster, there was the directive of don't talk about what they did in NXT.
So?
And it was like erasing what they did in NXT and making it...
But yeah, every other time that someone shows up, they're like, this person was NXT champion. This person did that. And then they've just debuted on the main roster, but they spent... Or so they just debuted in the WWE, but they were NXT champion for 400... No, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
Like it or not, as much... that you cannot talk about the fact that AJ Styles was an Impact all you like. You know what happens? People know that shit anyway. Because they have the internet and Google.
Yep. And I think that's why when they did I think it was AJ Styles WWE 24 or something like that.
They worked with Impact.
Yeah, they worked with Impact. I mean, and any
Samoa Joe's Chronicle.
And the Hardys with their 24.
But the point being, they can not talk about something all they like. Doesn't make it not exist any longer.
Yeah.
90% of the people that come up... Now, I've got nothing against people going up to NXT from NXT on their back. Right? I've got nothing against that. Right? Losing your last match on the way out of a territory is tradition. Right? Yep. But it shouldn't be a massive losing streak. Because then what incentive have you got to be pushed when you get to the main roster? Like, if they'd won this match and then War Raiders had just squeaked out the match at WrestleMania weekend, when they show up on Raw, you can imagine Michael Cole being, blah, 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 hellacious match, blah, blah, blah. It went down to the wire between these guys and War Raiders, the most athletically, blah, 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 blah. And it puts over Undisputed Era. Now he shows up and he goes, yeah, they've lost their last, like, four title defenses.
You just got shit on. So,
what better way to make a... Like, the reason the Nexus worked is because they put over the Nexus huge when they first debuted. Admittedly, they buried it like shit afterwards, right? But they did at least try to... They at least tried to make these guys sound great. Whereas with... Undisputed Era, there's very little to make them sound great at this point. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like the only thing they can do is just go up to the main roster with those tag team belts, at least. And the big problem is that, you know, if they want to do it, like, because they teased the whole all four of them with gold in 2019, well... You got one kind of problem with that, because Undisputed Era is a heel faction, and the NXT Championship was Tommaso Ciampa, heel, and now, well, Johnny Gargano, heel.
In all fairness, right, everything that we're talking about right now is hinging on the fact they're getting called up after WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
Because
there's still the possibility that may not happen.
Yes. it is entirely possible that they just go away for a couple of months and then they come back and they just take over NXT. See what I did there?
Aha!
Yeah. Right? So, whatever.
Yeah, not only that, but also something to keep in mind. They've been saying that Aleister Black has been getting is going to get called up to the main roster for about a year and a half now.
So, no, you say that he's going to be called up for like a year. He's been supposed to have been called up for a year or so, but then he was injured for 6 months. So, they're not going to call up an injured dude, are they?
No, they're not. But, yeah, because I remember they were saying that they could that he was supposed to be the next fast track since Kevin Owens.
Okay.
And that obviously never happened. But, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I like the idea that you came up with. They just disappear for a while. Yeah. And then they just come back.
It'll give Bobby time to heal up some injury. Like, Adam Cole isn't disappearing because of all the half-time heat thing. And he's was in the World's Collide tournament. And
did you watch the World's Collide tournament?
I did. I watched it this morning.
Oh, no. It wasn't bad.
I thought it was excellent for an Access tournament.
Oh, yeah.
It was better than I can't say that without sounding really, really sexist. Better than most of the Mae Young Classic.
Which one? The first one or the second one?
Yes.
The second one?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't get to watch the second one, so.
No, by saying yes, I meant both of them.
Kind of enjoyed the first one, but that's just me. But yeah, so Worlds Collide wasn't bad. Velveteen Dream won. So. Yeah.
As I predicted. I predicted both finalists.
And the spoilers that came out from an NXT taping, it looks like...
we're not going to talk about those.
Yes, we're not going to talk about those, but keep an eye on Dream.
We've got to see how it plays out.
Yeah, because apparently one thing I read, it could have been a swerve.
Because what I heard is they recorded two different endings to the match just to fuck with people.
Which is pretty awesome. So which one's real? But,
Yeah.
But, we'll talk about Halftime Heat later because we're promising that we're going to get done before we get that. They get the Halftime Heat.
Not that you won't be able to rewatch it on the WWE Network anyway.
Yeah. I got nothing else to watch. I'm just been watching Batman the Animated Series. Come on now. No, you wanted to talk about the Rumble matches themselves.
I wanted to go over our results.
Oh, yes. The results.
Our prediction results.
Let me pull that up here real quick. Where's the conversation with you and Mr. Jordan?
So, I've got it all up here. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'll read it out. Chillax, my son. So, starting with TakeOver, I predicted quite obviously that the Undisputed Era would win because I make good booking decisions. But however, War Raiders won, which gives the point to you. We both predicted Matt Riddle. We both predicted Ricochet in the Gargano-Ricochet match.
And we were both wrong.
We both predicted Baszler and we both predicted Ciampa. Which means you won TakeOver 4-3. Right?
Yep.
However, neither of us predicted the bullshit Raw title match because it was never put on.
pretty much.
Right? Both of us picked Rusev for the US title match. So, no points there. When it came to the four-way, you picked Hideo Itami. Good job there. And I picked Buddy Murphy, which gave me the point. Lynch versus Asuka, we both picked Asuka. When Jordan and I were discussing it, a discussion decision that actually made Jordan laugh out loud, predicted that the Bar would beat Miz and Shane McMahon. which they didn't.
I thought they were going to have him chase a little longer.
Yep. We both picked Ronda Rousey for the women's match. We both picked... technically, you picked Charlotte. And then went, well, Becky could win it as well. Whereas I picked Becky and went, eh, Charlotte could. So we were both right there. We were both spot on with Daniel Bryan. I picked Balor to retain to win over Lesnar, but I did
like pick a DQ or something.
But I did pick that Lesnar would retain the title.
Yep.
And then the Men's Royal Rumble match, Rollins won that, so we both got points. However, Jordan, as the rules committee, decided that because I got the most right on the night of the Royal Rumble, and we were technically only predicting the Royal Rumble, that I would win out. Also, the fact that I picked that Becky Lynch would win the Women's Royal Rumble from number 28, and she did.
That's right, you did say that she was going to get
it. I did say it was 27 or 28.
Yep, you did say that.
She's going to come in like number 3. And you're like, no, she's going to be exhausted from wrestling Asuka. But yeah, let's actually talk about the goings on at the Rumble.
First one was the women's, which was actually a change because originally we had heard that that was going to close the show.
We weren't sure.
But they ended up closing it with the men's Rumble. One thing, and this could be said about both of them, with the exception of like two entrants in the very beginning of the men's. There was no focus on legends. The focus was on the talent on the roster now.
I disagree.
And the future, and there was quite a bit of NXT UK, or not too much UK, but... I
disagree.
Okay, and why do you disagree?
Especially in the women's match.
All right, shoot.
Because Hornswoggle upstaged 90% of the roster. Quite frankly.
Just because he popped down and scared the crap out of Selena Vega?
Completely offstage. Everyone that was in the ring apart from Rhea Ripley. Also predicted Rhea Ripley was going to be in the Royal Rumble, by the way.
More points for you. I get to see Jordan just tagging those points right now. Ping, ping, ping. There you go.
Ricochet rabbit. But yeah, I mean, the notable stuff out of the Women's Rumble was Hornswoggle taking most of the shine off most of the women in the ring at the time.
I have to say, I did like the thing what Billy Kay did. When Billy Kay was coming down to the ring.
I'm not going in the ring till Peyton gets here.
And then, like, Nikki Cross comes in between the two of them. She sees her, just pushes her into the barricade, runs into the ring like a psycho.
Yeah.
Gotta love Nikki Cross on that one.
So, not to talk about... I don't want to, like, kind of single out men's and women's rumbles or what was good, what was bad, that kind of thing. What I am going to do... he's talking about a couple of things across both Rumbles that stood out for me. Okay. First, the big thing that stood out for me was how much the main roster superstars sold for the non-main roster superstars. Like when there was a 205 Live guy or an NXT UK girl or a woman from NXT or a man from NXT... the folks on the main roster sold for them brilliantly. They didn't just like underplay or their moves and anything. And that's a very big step in making those brands feel important and relevant.
Case in point, Drew McIntyre with the joint manipulation by Pete Dunne.
Yep.
Like Pete Dunne was doing the joint manipulation, not just on Drew McIntyre, but many others. And when we saw that happen, it was really nice.
Yep.
Especially when Aleister Black had his finger disjointed and then popped it back in place and the two started fighting.
The other thing I wanted to note, too many fucking escape elimination spots. Too many Kofi Kingston spots. There were four across two Royal Rumbles. Too many.
I mean, I can understand with Casey Catarzano.
That's literally her thing, yeah.
Because that's her thing from Ninja Warrior and stuff like that. But, yeah.
But Naomi.
I think they had two with Kofi alone.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the year where Kofi just gets thrown out. It's like, you don't get to do any shenanigans this year, bro. Or just wins it.
One of the two. I mean it.
And he'd be like, damn, I had something so special prepared. And then the year after, he's like, I can bring it back. And then he just gets thrown out. Like, flat out knocked out and just thrown over the top rope. I don't know.
No saves from Xavier or Big E. No.
The other big thing to note is the early parts of both Rumbles were really sloppy. Like, really sloppy. Like, the Lacey Evans-Natalya thing. If they thought that was going to ingratiate Lacey Evans to an audience as a face or as a heel, she didn't even look competent.
Yeah, like, you could see that Natty was doing everything in her power to make Lacey look good.
Yeah.
But every time she did, Lacey just kind of undid it.
And then there was what was the other thing?
Oh,
there was a lot of stuff early in the men's rumble that just made me go, that was a bit sloppy. And I don't mean the Jarrett Elias duet.
Yeah, it's, Angle was, I believe, number four in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, we didn't need Kurt Angle in that match. No, we really didn't need Kurt. Nothing against Kurt Angle. It's just, it didn't feel right to have him in there. Actually, one note for you. Between both Rumble matches, a total of 9 NXT, that's NXT and NXT UK combined, superstars in the match. Yep. And the two matches combined. So they really invested.
5 in the women's, 6 in the women's?
I think it was 5 and 4. Or 6 and 3. Because I know for the men it was Dunn, Gargano, and Black. Those were the three I definitely know. And then for the women, it was Kairi Sane, Rhea Ripley,
Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, Katie Catanzaro, and Xia Li.
So that's what it was. So it was 6 and 3. But still a total of 9 from NXT, NXT UK.
But it does show weaknesses? Not weaknesses. That there aren't many women on the rosters. And they think a tag title is a good idea. Anyway. Yeah.
And then, of course, one of the big things is that Nia Jax entered the men's rumble by attacking R-Truth, taking his spot, and eliminated people in both rumble matches in the same night. Mm-hmm. And then she got obliterated, finisher after finisher. Which, of course, as we found out, there's also real heat because she actually really did hurt R-Truth and he was pissed backstage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's given Becky Lynch a concussion taking away the Survivor Series match of her versus Ronda Rousey. And then she hurts R-Truth while taking his number 30 spot. Hooray, being safe.
Got a history of doing that.
Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to bring this up real quick. For TakeOver, because we're going over the picks.
Yeah.
You and I are, we have an ally on Bianca Belair. And that is Sam Roberts. Because Sam Roberts openly admits...
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I know, but on the NXT TakeOver pre-show, he flat out said it that Bianca Belair doesn't deserve to be on the TakeOver card against Shayna Baszler. And that it was underwhelming that she was on the card.
It also felt a little like he was getting fed a lot of lines.
So, I mean, I didn't watch it. I ended up reading about it, but... Hey, I still don't think Belair... Actually, one great part of that match, Shayna Baszler grabbing the hair like we were talking about and then using that as a weapon against Belair. When she took it and she just pulled Belair into the ring post. That was good. And then actually, Belair, I will give her credit. She did fully sold the hell out of that, too. But... The Rumble matches were the Rumble matches, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
So.
I just think, I'm not... I love the Rumble. I love the Rumble time of year. It just... I don't know. That. There was something off about both Rumbles this year. Like, they were good, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if two Rumbles is too many. It's just a long time. And then you have the Women's Rumble conclude and then go into Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles. And what should have been a really interesting hype match, the crowd were dead for because they were exhausted. I don't know.
So, which route do we want to go this time? Do we want to go with Ronda or do we want to go with Ambrose and Itami?
We can do a little bit on both because there's not a whole lot to talk about with Ronda, really.
Okay.
We wanted to do a segment, or you wanted to do a segment, talking about what we thought of Ronda.
Yeah.
Her year in the biz at this point.
Yeah, and of course, go figure, on Raw, she no-sold the arm.
Yeah.
But then, during the match, she started selling it later on in the match that she had, which was like, well, it's a little too late, Ronda.
my feelings on Ronda is, as a total package, she's garbage here. Can't work the microphone. She doesn't know how to sell outside the ring. She has no concept of the actual business of wrestling. In the ring, she gets it. Right? Admittedly, she's much like Brock Lesnar, where she has the same goddamn match every time. But as the total package, I'll be glad when she's moved on, much like Lesnar.
And, of course, the big rumor with her is that after Mania, she's going to take time off to start a family. But WWE has come out and said that she is under contract until April 2022.
You know what that means. She's going to pull a Brock Lesnar. She's only going to show up at major events.
Yeah. So it sounds like the first year she goes full time. And then after Mania, she goes Lesnar. But I will give Lesnar credit, at least, for his match with Balor, where he sold the shit out of that match to make Balor look strong in that match, despite defeating him. I don't like Lesnar, but I do give him the credit that he will sell.
If he likes you.
Yeah, if he likes you. He will
Otherwise,
sell.
Otherwise, you get the Dean Ambrose match at WrestleMania.
Which leads us to Dean. In a very interesting move, WWE has announced that he is not going to renew his contract and that he will be leaving WWE in April after WrestleMania. A lot of people think that this is a work.
Isn't there a helicopter on your end out of interest?
No, but I do live by the highway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot of people think that with WWE announcing, because normally they just wait till after somebody leaves to do the future endeavors post, that this may not be really Ambrose leaving, but really a work per se. And it's like, it's kind of hard to get a vibe. I mean, I think Ambrose legitimately is leaving. I think he has decided not to renew his contract and will leave. I don't think we're going to have a CM Punk situation where CM Punk actually signed his contract like hours before Money in the Bank started. But it's just so interesting that they're going this route, which makes you think about what type of booking is he going to get going into Mania.
I mean, who cares at this point? Like, I know that sounds really bad, but when Dean Ambrose turned heel, everyone's like, oh, here comes John Moxley. Nope. Just some weird Republican who hates the little people and is afraid to get diseases.
But it also felt like it was very caged.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they didn't let him really go full out.
Like, that's what I'm saying. When he turned heel, all you need to do was take the John Moxley character, get rid of the cigarettes and the titty master stuff, and like you just let him go. But instead, you got
Bane 2.0,
Bane the Tory,
and then of course after the Rumble, Hideo Itami requested his release, which WWE apparently has granted. Judging by the posts that we've seen from guys like Victor the Ascension, Daniel Bryan, and several others. But the reason that WWE was willing to do this release is because he's not going to go to AEW. He's going to go home to Japan and most likely wrestle for NOAH, which is his home promotion. So there was more of an understanding with him going over there. And I remember back when we were doing MBM and Hideo Itami first came to WWE and came to NXT. And you were very displeased because it was like, oh, big signing, they're going to force him to the moon right away.
And they tried.
They tried, but injuries derailed him.
Even though injuries derailed him, they still tried to shove him to the moon. Right?
Yeah.
Like, the fact of the matter is, when he came over, I said one or two things is going to happen. They're either going to push him to the moon or he's going to languish and not do anything. And he kind of did both. So I was right twice, I guess.
Do you feel that while trying to push him to the moon, then the injuries come in, he comes up the 205 Live. Like, he actually had a pretty decent run when he came back from injury in NXT, but then he comes up the 205 Live and he doesn't really amount to anything. He comes to 205, he languishes there, but he still had a pretty decent push in NXT. Like, do you think maybe when he went to 205 Live, the injuries were in the back of maybe creative's head and going, he's been hurt a few times, do we really want to try to push him? Because that was something that happened, because that was something that happened with Ziggler with the concussions. They didn't want to push him as the top guy because of it.
Who cares? Like, I know that sounds really stupid, but by the time he came to 205 Live, the damage was done.
Yeah.
Right? The thing with Itami is, or Kenta, is he was
Kenta
used to
again.
He was used to being the big fish in the little pond. And when he came to WWE, he didn't. It's the same way that all these people bitching and crying and moaning every, like, why isn't Sasha Banks and Bayley in the title picture? Why are they languishing in tag team action? Because not everyone can be pushed all the fucking time. Right? We just saw Itami in a four-way cruiserweight title match. But I don't know.
Yeah. So, with that, Mr. Ben, fantasy booking.
Indeed, it
is. What is this week's fantasy booking topic? As I grab my legal pad to get ready for this. Oh, which, by the way, as I'm looking at it, has all the NXT TakeOver and Royal Rumble results on it. Which I also wrote down every single, the order that everyone came in, the order they were eliminated, by who they were eliminated.
Were there any surprises there for you? People who eliminated people, or people who weren't eliminated by people?
First off, I give a lot of credit to Natalya for the women's. She lasted 55 minutes, 58 seconds. Ember Moon was second with 53 minutes, 10 seconds. And then third place was actually Charlotte Flair with 50 minutes, 36 seconds. Those are your three longest, three women who lasted the longest in the match. I'm not surprised that Natalya eliminated Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, and then who did Natalya? Natalya was eliminated by Nia. Where's Ruby Riott on here? Oh, Ruby was eliminated by Bayley.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of. I mean, I was surprised that Maria Kanellis was in the match.
Yeah, Little Miss Request Releaser.
Yeah,
Requester.
But she was knocked out pretty quickly by Alicia Fox after she stomped.
Alicia Fox.
God, I love that. That best thing Noam Dar has done, probably on 205 Live. Period. I mean, there's not a lot of surprises, honestly. I mean, we all knew that Becky Lynch was going to get in the match. You called it number 28.
Always bet on Ben.
Although Lacey did get a couple of...
The biggest surprise for me was that Mustafa Ali got eliminated by Nia Jax.
Yeah, that was...
They've been positioning Mustafa as a star on SmackDown.
Yeah, now he's going to be in that Elimination Chamber match for the WWE title.
Yep.
Did
you see the Samoa Joe? Did you see that promo?
Yeah.
Hey Jeff, why don't you pretend this is an AA meeting? Shut up while I talk.
Damn.
God, I wanted to win a title soon.
So, did I write down? I thought I wrote down the times on here.
It doesn't matter. Let's get to the fantasy booking. We want to wrap this up before.
Yeah, let's get to the fantasy booking. All right, what do you got for fantasy booking?
What do you mean, what have I got? It's your turn to bring the fantasy booking this week.
Son of a bitch, that's right.
I brought the last one.
Fuck.
Do I have to come up with an emergency one?
Yes, come up with the emergency one. Right. And then I'll do the next episode.
Next two episodes.
Yes, I'll do the next two fucking episodes.
Right. Fantasy book it now. What would be the closing seat, the closing shot of WrestleMania?
Closing shot of WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Mine would be the obvious one that everyone wants to see, and that's Becky Lynch holding up the Raw Women's Championship.
Okay.
Ending the show.
Okay. That's what you would end the show with?
WrestleMania, yeah.
Okay. See, what I would end the show with, I'm going to one-up that, is it would be Becky having just beaten Ronda. Bayley and Sasha come out to celebrate with her with the tag team titles. And then Charlotte shows up with the SmackDown title. And it's all four of them. And it sets up the match against the four horsewomen at Survivor Series.
I can dig that.
They've all stood there doing this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we all remember, at the Royal Rumble, Sasha did throw up before at
And then there was the Ronda. Thing on Raw. There was the thing on Raw. It wasn't shown on telly, but like when Becky comes down, when Bayley's in the ring, Becky gives her the four and Bayley flashes it back. Becky gets in Ronda's face.
Yep. So they're building it. But that actually works also, but for another reason. And here's why. And that is the fact that there are rumors going around that WWE wants to bring back to life the Eddie Guerrero Chris Benoit moment from WrestleMania. And what you just described, that's the word I was looking for. Recreate. Thank you, Ben. Thank you. I love you, my friend. But what you just put out there with Sasha and Bayley coming out with the tag team titles, Charlotte coming out with the SmackDown Women's title, Becky having won the Raw Women's Championship, that right there is recreating the Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero WrestleMania 20 moment when Benoit won the title. And Eddie came out with his title and they celebrate together.
Yeah.
And that's like what you just described there is the recreation. Which also builds up to the Four Horsewomen at Survivor Series.
Exactly.
So you did a twofer.
The other way that you could possibly close WrestleMania is Seth. Right? Because while I have the feeling that Vince is going to try and swerve us again and be like, Brock's winning at WrestleMania, there will be a fucking
riot.
Riot.
Oh, God. If they do the swerve again.
It's legitimately, and I said this when we did 3-2-1 this week, and Jordan and I talked a little bit about the Royal Rumble, and he wanted to talk about the Universal title match, and I was like, the what? There is no world title on Raw. There hasn't been one for 4 years.
Except
that 2 month period where Roman held it.
Yeah.
They need to, if they want that belt to start meaning something, they've got to start making it mean something. Which means it needs to not be on Brock Lesnar.
Definitely has to be on Seth. 100%.
And I wouldn't have half the problem with Brock having the schedule that he has if he wasn't the title holder. Do you know what I mean? Like, when he was wrestling The Undertaker, it was like a personal feud between The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. I was fine with him just showing up once every, 3 months or whatever. But it's the title suffering that I've got a problem with.
Yeah, it's run its course. It was one thing, because I remember you saying at Awesome Mania panel at AwesomeCon, I think a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, where you said that's actually the best thing for the title at that time.
It was.
But for 1 year, and you have these guys battling out to try to fight Brock Lesnar, that's, for a year, that's one thing. But now you're looking at year two, year three, possibly a year four.
For a short time, that was the best thing for the title, because for so long the Raw had just been about the world title and nothing else on the show mattered, right? But we're at a point now where everything else on the show, well, the tag titles, but the women's title and the intercontinental title will matter, even though actually I can ignore that because it's on Bobby Lashley. The women's title matters, but nothing else on the show does, and it's all centering from this Brock Lesnar problem.
Yep. And one final question before we go into social medias and other things. I gotta admit, I really like the title belt that Daniel Bryan brought out. I like it sometimes when they do the customizations, but this one actually fits the character of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I really like it. I just wanted to see what you had thought, and it sounded like you agree.
Here's my thought on the Daniel Bryan situation, right? You know what was written on his t-shirt on Tuesday?
Yes, it's dead.
No.
No.
Or was that Monday that he was wearing the t-shirt I'm thinking of? He was wearing a t-shirt Monday. That says, no racism, no sexism, no homophobia, no bigotry, it was like, no this, no that. And I'm like, and this guy's the heel? Let me see if I can find the exact t-shirt.
Yeah, and actually in an interview, Brie Bella said that this is actually how Daniel Bryan really is in real life, and that he's just...
He's turned up to 11.
Yeah, it's turned up to 11, kind of like when CM Punk did the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just turned his real-life personality to 11, which a lot of people just don't agree with that mentality. Which is, hey, that's how you are, that's fine. Everyone's different.
Oh, this is it. The t-shirt read, no violence, no homophobia, no sexism, no racism, freedom, peace, love. And he's supposed to be the heel.
Logic.
Vince McMahon.
But again, I love the title belt. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, because I'll have the episode up tonight on the website, Halftime Heat on the WWE Network, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and Adam Cole versus Aleister Black, Ricochet, and the Velveteen Dream.
I predict it's going to be good.
I predict it'll be better than whatever the hell the NFL puts up for a Super Bowl halftime show.
Maroon 5.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let me go vomit real quick.
Well, considering I'm not watching any of it.
Oh, neither am I. I watched the Capitals play the most horrible game they've ever played today.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl tradition that the Capitals play at home at 12:30. So, yeah, and they really sucked ass today. But
that sucks.
Yeah, it does. So they've lost 8 of their last 9 games. Good job, Caps. Good job. All right, so with that...
I would like to leave you with this one final thought. You should never do anything with Velcro. It's a ripoff.
I agree. But anyways, with that, Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on social medias at Bobby Goldfish on Twitter. You can follow our exploits at 321 Podcast or... 3 Topics, 2 Guys, 1 Podcast on Facebook. And there we post a lot of our updates about when we're going to be gaming on the Twitch channel.
And of course, also a huge thank you to 321 for having us on Twitch at twitch.tv/321_TV.
Yep.
And then, of course, you can find me on Twitter at thelindabomb75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And you can also find the archive of this show on txhthockey.com/awesomemania. The main page for Awesome Mania will actually be the most recent episode that we record, and then there's also an archive that you can go to for it, for past episodes.
Yep.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, with that, this has been Awesome Mania. This upcoming weekend, you can see me at Farpoint in Hunt Valley, Maryland on February 9th. And then after that, we get into the road to WrestleMania and Awesome Con.
Yeah, should be good.
Yep, and so with that, we will see you all in 2 weeks because we're going to finally get into our bi-weekly schedule. And until next time. Yes, hopefully. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you in the ring.